It's a pleasure to be here this morning. I thought what I'd do is start off with about a couple of minutes just of like me personally and what me and my family are, and then go into the topic. But I think it's a critical part of what's happening around the world in Australia, and it's happening to our kids. And it's something that we really have to work hard to do something about. From a personal point of view, my background is interesting. My father was a victim of the Second World War. He was in the concentration camps. He was Jewish. I lost three uncles and my grandfather to the camps, to the gas chambers. After the war, my dad went to Germany. My mum had married a German Luftwaffe officer, and so she had a child. When Dad met her, he died in an aircraft raid. When Dad met her, he had a four-year-old son. So my family, my half-brother is the son of a German officer. My father, a number of our family members died in the camps. And so when he migrated to Australia, it was a bit of an accident. His mum wanted to come over, so he came over. He got stuck here for a bunch of different reasons. It's a longer story. And so we grew up. I was born in Melbourne. We grew up there. So my history of coming into the region was I was the youngest manager in TNT in Melbourne, and I came to Canberra to set up divisions of TNT for Sir Peter Abel. So I had 14 years in transport and trucking, and in the end, before I pulled myself out and then went into consultancy, I was over 30 divisions of TNT dealing with federal and state government. So long history of negotiating with government around the country. I dealt from most prime ministers down. My side of politics comes from the right, and my wife and I, for 40 years, have been involved in philanthropic work. So, privately and personally, we have built AIDS clinics, orphanages, small schools. We've funded over 300 churches in Europe and Asia. And so Brindabella was an interesting one, because we took it over when the United Church was going to close it, and we grew it from 200 kids to 1,200. And I won't go down that path, because there's a lot more the media and everything else have got their view of life and things that happen. And so sort of let that to one side for the more important topic of what's happening to our kids and where it's going. And because we've been involved in it around the world, but Brindy is the most obvious one, right? But 23 years in, seen a lot of things. And so when we look at what's happening to our children, it's a slow burn, okay? So this has been happening for a long time. There's no quick fix. I'm not going to stand here and be naive enough to say, you know, I've got these solutions and where we're heading. I know where we're going to go with Brindy, and I'll explain that. But what's happening in essence is there's been a decline in the nuclear family. If you take the US, which is a great example, you know, you talk about sort of the size of the US. So women from the ages of about 18 through to about 24, there's about 92%, I think, in the US now don't have kids. So everything's pushing up. So it's pushing up the line, and the numbers increase, right, all the way to 40 years old, predominantly, right? But they're having kids older. Now, they're staying younger, staying single younger, right? The psyche is changing. So if you look at the increase in things in society like OnlyFans, right, and the way that's tearing up society, where women are sort of basically effectively prostituting themselves, you know, online, and the take-up is incredible. I was looking at it just this morning. So in December, there was 148 million transactions on OnlyFans in the US, right? Just ridiculous, right? But where I'm taking it is, so the empowerment of women, women working, you've got the cost of living going up, dual income families. So what's happening as a family is parents are working more, or dual income parents. My kids, totally blessed. My wife was a home mum, you know, grew up under Taya. She brought the kids up. She is just awesome. I was travelling the world and travelling Australia, and so I wasn't around. That's the reason I bought the farm in Cooma, because I semi-retired in 2007 to spend time with the kids. So I used the farm here to spend time with the kids before they got too old, right? Because when they were young, I didn't see them, right? And it's just a natural thing that happens when people are working, right? And so from that particular point of view, when you look at what's happening with the kids, and Victoria is one of the worst examples. I mean, I go to annual legal conference every year, have done for 10 years. I've watched the decline of education in Victoria. It's been astounding. We had one guy who actually delivered, and by the way, I'll just say this from a heart point of view, this is nothing to do with LGBTQI hating on people that, you know, in every one of our families, if you go 6 degrees of separation, you'll find someone in your family that's affected, that is, you know, it part of that LGBTQI community. Literally here in Cooma, I had a gay couple live on my farm for 8 years, helping them when their family was sick here in Canberra and they wanted somewhere to stay. So it's not about loving on people, but it's about how society has morphed and what we're teaching our kids. Okay? So having said that, if I look at what was happening in Victoria, we had this one guy and he was introducing the whole LGBTQI world to education in Victoria. And he was a nasty piece of work to listen to, right? That was the guy that Christensen in Parliament was having a go at, because they're putting out literature to kids and teaching kids how to lie to their parents about what they're really up to. Now, it's been age old that kids will lie to their parents or do whatever, or, you know, sneak out and what. But this is coordinated, educationally platformed to do that, right? And so it was interesting when I looked at the Victorian issue and we looked at Brindy and what we're doing with the kids, we had just had half of the children. And so it was interesting. Like, everyone's different. I've been part of one church for 40 years. We have a great program. Sometimes it fails, but a great program with youth. And I was saying before we were talking, where the youth programs in the church are critical as part of the development of young people. The fight is that science and technology is pulling kids away from faith, because faith requires something of the heart and the soul, whereas if you're talking about science, they go, oh, Jesus couldn't walk on water, miracles didn't happen. You know, so it's the science has complicated the issue by trying to make a life of faith difficult for young people. And that's a real problem, right? And so what we found, which is really interesting, so we had, in 1,200 kids, we had, effectively, 50% non-Christian parents, right, who literally wanted a better life for their kids in discipline, right? Because one of the problems is, if you don't have faith, you don't have Christianity, and I'm talking Christianity as opposed to, like, in terms of, like, lifestyle, as opposed to religion, right? There's a big difference, right? When you live and breathe what you believe versus a set of rules, right? And so, fundamentally, from the point of view of the parents, they loved what was happening. And I mean, even when we put our fees up 36%, we didn't lose a single kid. We put on 140 kids in 24, term one, right? Barry hated that. But she lost 280 to Christian education. We took 50% of it, right? So what it is with the kids, right? And I'll talk from personal experience with what we were doing because it's really interesting. So a number of years ago, I had a love-hate relationship with the Greens. And Shane Rattenbury went through a couple of different iterations. He effectively was Minister for Sport and then he became Minister for Education. All the kerfuffle over the Oval and the car park, he knew. We agreed with all. He knows, right? But every politician, you know, does what they do when it comes to the truth. But I took him on tour of the school. And so what ended up happening was we went into the ELC and there was a little three-year-old in pigtails and he made a fatal mistake. He leaned over and he said, "What are you doing, darling?" And she was playing with plastic farm animals, right? And so she then unpacked the entire story of Noah's Ark on him. And you, I kid you not, you could see the look on his face, literally, right? And then we took him into a class, three-year-olds, and they sang a song in Mandarin to him. Because we teach Mandarin, I keep saying we, I've got to get used to it, it's not me anymore, right? But anyway, teaching kids from three-year-old to year 12 in Mandarin, right? And he's sitting there listening to the song. You could seriously see something change in him, right? And every single politician that's ever come through Brindabyne changes. I had one senior, the guy that gave us the car park originally, which they say we didn't get, he walked into a class of 16-year-olds and they were praying over a kid who had damaged his leg instead of throwing paper at each other and yelling at the teacher. And you could see him visibly moved by watching kids that weren't rowdy, weren't rousing on each other, you know. Anyway, we're walking through. His chief of staff was interesting. He was trying to work out whether our cafe was legal in competition with the local line of shops. He just wanted to shut our cafe. But unbelievable. But Shane at the end of it said, he was holding a symposium on early learning, right? And he said, "I had three categories of ELC. I'm going to add a fourth category." I said, "What do you mean?" He said, "You know, because like the Catholics, for example, do a lot of play-based work, you know, like for young kids into pre-kindy." And so he said, "I'm going to add intentional learning," right? Because that's what he saw at Brindabella. So our kids were so well prepared at preschool going into kindy, right? I kid you not, we had one principal. They were telling our ELC to dumb the kids down because when they hit kindy, they were too bright for the kids that came in from other schools. The weirdest stuff happened, right? Anyway, so move the clock forward a few years, right? And as I told some of you, there's a lot more to the Brindy story. It goes back 10 years of people wanting to have a go at me because I was trying to nail some corruption in government. And the outworking of everything that's happened is that. But what happened was, there's a new registrar in town called Sean Moisey, right? And together with Yvette Berry and Barr, because long-term Labor government, what ended up happening was they developed a program, $3,000 free to parents for three-year-olds. And then in the election, they upped it to six. When I buried myself in the legislation, there was transgender fluidity teaching buried inside the programs. And they were masking it and hiding it. And then there was teacher developmental programs for inclusion, right, that was all masked in around training the teachers to train the kids to you won't see a Bible in schools in 5 years' time, right? So this is where they were heading. And years ago, I was talking to a guy in Melbourne on education, and I couldn't believe it, but in fact at the time, when we had Bibles in school, we had Bible study, right? Governments removed Bibles out of schools, except for Christian schools, of course. And in New South Wales, originally, they replaced the Bible with Popeye, right? And why did they do it? They did it because they wanted to teach a child, a young child, that what do you think? Is it right to try and chase someone else's girlfriend, right, and win her over? And the answer they were told to give was whatever you think, right? So we're talking, that conversation was 30 years ago, right? Move it forward to intentional morphing of our three-year-olds' minds, right, to current day, right? This is a slow burn. And what's happened is, and this is just legally, part of the education system, because as I go to legal conferences, did all the time, the right of the parent is so diminishing against the right of the establishment, including the school. You know, you can have someone, if they see a parent, you know, grab a kid by a scruff of a collar. If a teacher or a principal, they can immediately report that to social services. Now, what actually happens is, because there's a mandatory reporting structure that exists, right? And my niece used to work in Prime Minister and Cabinet, and the reality is, once a file's open, it's never closed. So someone can make an accusation, you know, you have someone, you know, accuse you, and it stays open, and you're part of the system. And so the system is in control. And so as a parent, you get lost in it. And then when you add kids gaming, because what happens is that isolates them, they take that into marriage too, right? They'll sit and game instead of talking to their wife or playing with the kids, right? And so when you look at the way we've shifted society, you know, who's teaching our kids? Well, the system is, right? Because the parents have abrogated the responsibility, not necessarily by choice, by circumstance. If you've got a mortgage and you've got to pay it and you've got a, you know, dual income. But I remember from about, would have been about 15 years ago, we did an analytical evaluation of, for example, a spouse going to work. And that involved having a second car, clothing, makeup, whatever. It wasn't cost effective. We did the numbers, right? It was a really detailed set of numbers. It's choice. Because everyone's been taught being at home is a bad thing, it's not a real job, it, you know, it's whatever. And so we've moved into this, the kids have disengaged from their parents because they're getting taught by a system. So they go into ELC, they get taught by strangers, and the parents have to find out at night what they've learnt, right? So, and when you've had a busy day, it's complicated. We had so many kids, I kid you not, that when we put them down, you know, we had events, that didn't know how to use a knife and fork. Now, the reason they didn't know how to use a knife and a fork is their parents would rush them through Hungry Jack's, McDonald's, you name it, at the end of a busy day, and they'd hoe down food. I mean, the idea of, you know, sitting here and cooking and what we did this morning in fellowship is like a foreign concept, right? And it's just part of the way our society has actually moved. And so, where am I getting to? So, look, the institutions that we're giving our kids over to, I'm not, it's not political, and I'm not trying to make it that, but when you go that sort of deep left socialist platform mentally, because Canberra, we have highly intelligent left of brain people living in jobs that are surreal. We had COVID, they went home. No one lost their job, right? They just worked from home, okay? They were immune completely. Canberra is one of the most immune cities in the country, right? And so they think philosophically, and you can see that it is extreme left in its voting patterns against the rest of the country, right? And so when you've got policymakers, and you saw what happened to Dutton when he said, I'm going to shrink the public service, all hell broke loose, right? So you're in a situation where, and this is the problem, when people get handouts, right, when they get a handout, one guy once told me, I said, look, if you have multiple generations with their handout, right, you know, four things, then you breed future generations with their handout, right? So kids are lost in a hard day's work. Their attention spans are really short. And by the way, on general, right? There are exceptions to every rule, okay?
So he is exceptional.
It's why I'm making the point, because I don't want you to take anything away from what I'm saying that's negative, because you're actually here, right? So look, the situation we've got is, what's going to happen? Now, where we were heading before all the kerfuffle, I'd gone over to America, I did a deal with Boston Dynamics, one of only 10 schools in the world, where we were going to bring robotics over, right? And then that got all caught up in other rubbish. But the reality is this, there are trials in the US now where, because this is what we've got. We've got public school and we've got private education that is unaffordable for a lot of people, right? So they can't make that decision, right? The ones that have the luxury of private education, that's a different story. And then it's where you go, right? But this whole just woke ideology of just stubbing your toe and the world has collapsed. Roman, who used to run, he was the commissioner for Border Force, his 17-year-old daughter at Radford, high paid, next down from grammar, right? He had to detox her on what she was being taught, right? One of our teachers in the fight at Brindy, right, took their child to Bergman, which is the next down from Radford. And at Bergman, 100% of her 35 kids in her class were either furries or unimaginable something else's. The entire class, right? So you've got the situation where what we're allowing to happen. I was having a conversation with a friend of mine who his son is down the coast. And the guy that he lives with does cleaning down the coast in the public school system. What is his single biggest objection? Cleaning up human feces out of kitty litter at the back of classrooms. Are you kidding? Right? But this is what we're dealing with, right? And so, how do we fix it? The thing is this, we were developing a platform, we were about to go down a platform, of distance education for people that couldn't afford the education, right? And especially in a country surrounding Australia, there are a number of those, right, that education is difficult. Now, there are trials right now in the US where what's happening is, I know this sounds like Star Wars, you know, but the AI is so developed that the AI self-correcting is actually developing ILPs. Now, you know what that is. So we've got kids with a learning disability or whatever, and a lot of that, as we're finding out, you're seeing it with Kennedy in the US, it's what the kids consume. So instead of saying a kid's high energy, we label them as, you know, ADD or whatever, we fill them full of drugs. But the thing is, over in the US, these individual learning plans are AI. The AI is interacting with the kids in a meaningful way that they understand. So these are kids coming out of a generation where their attention span is a, you know, 15 second, you know, sort of TikTok clip or whatever. So they're developing these plans for the kids. They're teaching the kids exactly what they need to learn at the highest level. They're modifying the teaching patterns in the AI to talk to the child, and they're blitzing the state in their academic excellence, right? And the problem, there's two parts to this. One is, if you talk about entrepreneurial success, there's a lot of kids, right, that will never go on to university and do brilliantly, right, absolutely brilliantly without tertiary education. And this is a fallacy, like, in our world. A few years ago, I sat with the head of Scotch College, and he was doing something that was truly remarkable. He didn't care about ATAR and scores. He was starting to develop partnerships with the largest groups in the world, like Microsoft and others, and they were doing these maker spaces where they were developing these kids' entrepreneurial capacity, right, at a really young age. And when I went to America, I met up with a group called Future Business Leaders of America. Unbelievable. 275,000 kids across the country. They basically compete on various different things. At their school, they have these clubs. They then go state, they then go national. And I literally dropped into a city, right, where 10,000 of these kids had landed. That this is the older kids. So they do junior school, senior school, and uni. These are the uni kids. They're all there. Couldn't care less about winning. They were just there for the social interaction, but they were competing. So the guys that were IT, they had 1,000 PCs lined up, and these kids were hacking the biggest corporations in America, and the biggest corporations were there picking the best hackers. Right? No kidding. They had competitions on baking, like food tech, right? They had some of the big restaurant chains there. They even had political events. They had entrepreneurial events, but they gave each kid $1,000 and said, what can you do with it in a week? Just off the dial. And so it's, you've got these private organisations that are moving around the education system because the education system is broken, right? And so the point that I make is, we're going to see in our generation a shift, okay? And the only thing that we can do, and the thing that I'm suggesting in terms of the control of young minds, right, is nothing beats engagement, like nothing. And we've lost the art of it. I used to take 40 kids from Brindy to the farm, right? And it was funny, we chopped down trees, I grabbed the bobcat, we'd take these massive trees and we'd drop it in the bonfire, and the bonfire was like, you know, 20, 30 metres in the air. Anyway, I went to a party with a parent, and the parent was in tears, and he said, thank you for taking, you know, the kids to the farm. I said, but why are you so much? He said, we used to, out in the outback in the Northern Territory, we used to have, you know, just bonfires, sit down, talk. He said, never did it with my kids. The first time this kid had seen a bonfire was at the farm. It's just, and so we can take back what we can take back. We can't take back society crumbling because it's actually... I'm not being a doomsday sayer or anything like that. My wife's an end timer, so that's another story, right? But the issue fundamentally is you can't take back what's been done because you'll get destroyed mentally and emotionally trying to do that. What you've got to do is put a line in the sand and go, who's teaching our kids? And who's teaching our kids is the system. And the system's broken. Right? And so all you can... And you don't even have to fear if you don't go to uni. That's not the answer for everyone. My son and daughter both did. My son, he was... I don't know what you're like, but he was 50% and it's a pass. I'm there, right, you know. And he, from his point of view, he just wanted to be in business. My daughter, completely the other side of it, right? Both came out of Brindy, right? She, as I was saying before, she took out the world titles in rocketry in the US at Spaceport. Their rocket took out 2,000 aerospace engineers from 152 teams from 32 countries. Blitzed it. Her team took out every award, unheard of, right? Eclipsed the Yanks. So when she came back, she had a private dinner with Peter Dutton. It was lovely, you know, the whole thing was fantastic. Interesting. You can have two kids come from the same parent, but two totally different people. We all know that, right? But engagement, which is what I did, I paid a huge price. I was making a fortune when I retired, right? But I bought the farm. We had quads. It's funny, the dune buggies, 0 to 100 in 4.2 seconds, top speed 220. My kid was drifting sideways at 100, right, when he was 12, right? But we were travelling the farm, we were doing stuff together, the kids were shooting. They did everything, right, that a city kid couldn't do. And I grew up in Apollo Bay in Victoria. We had a rainforest farm property there, about 160 acres. But the thing is, the engagement. Not everyone could go buy a farm and do what I did, but I'm saying just engage with the kids. Because the system isn't. They're teaching to a formula, and as good as Brindy is, right? You know, you're in it, right? It's not good enough. Because you don't know the intrinsic deep down values that are shared by the person that's teaching your child. Right? And so my takeaway from the who's teaching the kids, because as I said, the system is broken. I do a lot of posts. It's funny because I never intended it, right? But I have different businesses. I have some eclectic posts that I started storing in YouTube because that was a place to put them, right? You know, free. And all of a sudden, I ended up with 100,000 followers, which is just nuts, right? I didn't do it to make money or do any. I still don't. I don't profit from it. But it's interesting. The biggest story that went nuts. I took a German story, I translated it partially into English. It was a sad story about a kid with cancer. I came home after dinner, the 200,000 hits went, climbed to 8 million. But the reason being, and what I noticed, which is really important, it was good news. It was a sad story, but it was a good news story. The naysayers, so what had happened, this child, beautiful little six-year-old, only had a few weeks to live, right? And so what ended up happening was his father put out a note to the local community because the kid loved hearing motorbikes because his dad was a biker, right? And so he said, can you come? Fang your motorbikes outside the house, right? And so he thought, because the club was about 20, 30 people, so 20,000 people turned up from all over Europe to this kid's home. The naysayers, when I posted, went, wasn't 20,000, it was 16. And then all I did, I took the news story from Europe, and in the news story, they had the front few seconds was a Bolisero clip trying to show the number of bikes, what 20,000 bikes looked like. So I get these odd comments like, oh, the first few minutes wasn't real, or There was only 16 thousand. This is what people. But I got 60,000 comments that fell in love with it. And you know what it was? Because it was a positive story about humanity. So people are still looking for the good news stories and the nice things in life that are positive, not the negative news. I just refuse to watch news. But we're getting inundated with negativity, right? And this is not the time for it. It's so morphed because there's so many factors at play. So our kids, they're watching TikTok, they're experiencing social media, and they're burning inside that. They've got things pulling them out to one side, which is the pornography and everything else, and the twist where you've got OnlyFans women proud of what they're doing. Now you've got this woman in Melbourne who slept with 600 guys or something, now coming out saying she's got some medical problems. So what I'm saying is, the way to teach the kids is to take the few minutes that you've got and actually do something with them. Because grandpa has been replaced by Google. You want to learn how to nail something in a wall or do something? Instead of sitting with a senior learning how to basically go fishing or fix something or do whatever, it's a click on Google search, come up with an answer. And don't get me wrong, 80% of the people in the room become irrelevant, which is wrong. And that's how you fix it. It's engagement. It's the only thing I can tell you. My father was so engaged with me, and the things that you remember, right? He worked like a trooper. Had one of the first three restaurants in Turek, South Yarra, but they were working till 3 a.m, right? We used to get in the car. We'd go to a strange area. I would tell him to go left and right 7 or 8 times, and we got lost. And it was his job to get us back home. This is the game we played, right? I played it with my kids have got the best capacity for spatial orientation anywhere in any city, wherever they go, from playing that game. Even though the technology, send me on Google, give me a direction to go wherever, instead of your wife going and turning a sort of Melways going turn left here, right? But the thing is, it's that level of engagement, and you never forget it. And that's what's missing. If I look at everything we've done at Brindy, because we're a system, right? That system is getting chipped away at. And the governments are chipping away at it. And the minute they get those three, there are only two schools in Canberra, Covenant and Brindy, that didn't accept the free money for the parents. Right? Everyone else took the money. So what they're going to do is going to morph the minds of these three-year-olds. And if you look at kids' cartoons, they're teaching our kids. And the social messaging inside the cartoon, you can't even let your kids watch Batman or watch Transformers or watch anything that hasn't got a social message or agenda in it. My kids, and because we were able to, I have a library of over 10,000 DVDs that we bought. So instead of doing Netflix, every time DVDs went from 30 down to 10 or whatever, we bought a DVD. So my kids grew up, they watched TV series, you know, like Green Acres and whatever, all the old stuff. My daughter, to become one of the world's leading aerospace rocket engineers, watched MacGyver, the series, 7 times. Right? I kid you not. So my wife said, why did you buy all those DVDs? Now she's going, because they're morphing all the stuff. And well, our grandkids have got a library. Right? So what I'm trying to say is, the society is moving into a horrible place. The only way to fix it is, I think, for the grandkids growing up, this new way of teaching, this AI ILP stuff, is going to be the way that kids who don't have the kind of money that private education, you know, can actually get into. And I say that because I wanted to build a school that was state-of-the-art dealing with AI and robotics. Now, a lot of Christians shy away from it, but it's coming, right? And you want to teach your kids how to adapt to it. That's what we were doing, right? And so now, when even a couple of days ago, this AI, and it's been happening for a while, but the AI is self-correcting its own code and protecting itself from dying. And then they've found in the test labs that the software is sending out to remote locations copies of its core memory in case it gets shut down so it can rebuild itself. So we're going to live in this whole Terminator Star Wars kind of world. It's there. It's real. It's absolutely real. And what I saw in America, the fun part was 100 robots walking around me at headquarters at Boston Dynamics, is just off the dial. You know, you walk down the corridor, the dog would look at you and pull aside, sit down, wait till you pass and all this stuff. But it's happening, right? You can't avoid it. You've got to just know it's there. So I think future education has a chance because it's going to bypass the woke left nonsense, right? But the only way to grab the kids, because who's teaching our kids is not the parents anymore, right? The system has taken control. Canberra's terrible, like shocking. And so the war that I was raging was one of the reasons that we got taken out. So I'll leave you with this, and I'm happy to take questions, but if you can do anything, because I look back on my childhood, look back on all the years, look at all the kids I took to Cooma, engage. Just go on a fishing trip, camp, do whatever. Do whatever you emotionally can do in your life to connect with your children. Don't let the system do it for you. Because the guy Rogers that I talk about, in 1960, he got $20 million. His programs on respect and valuing family got more views than every other show, Batman, everything, in the 60s. Right? This guy was incredible. And all he was doing was teaching core values of family. Right? Because that's what people want. So I know from social media, everyone's hurting, looking for good news stories, even though you can find a channel that shows you how someone's got hit by a car and got smashed or whatever. People are still hunting for good news, emotionally, because they're in a bad place when they don't. And with isolation of gaming and all the other stuff that's happening, people, because not everyone's a 10. So you get guys who don't have the social skills to interact with women, you'll find them in a basement somewhere playing games. You've got to engage and become their best friend. And I can tell you now, with my daughter and my son, I'm not the best dad. My wife is an awesome mum. But I'll say this, and no one believes me, and I'll finish. They grew up at Brindy. They had my wife at home. My son's 30. My daughter's 23. Okay? They have not had a single fight in her entire life. Not one. Not over a pencil. Not over a seat in the back of the car. Not one. In her 23 years. He idolises her. Right? And she idolises him. Right? Now, not every family can say that. It's not bullshit. I'm blessed by one thing. My wife brought my kids up. I didn't. I'm just making that real clear. Right? But she could. Or a lot of parents today can't. So if you're in this room, and you're a dad or your grandfather, be to those kids what they need, because the system's letting them down. And that's critically important. And so whether it's encouraging them to go to church, in a church youth group, and develop, right? Whatever, right? But be a part of that journey. Don't rely on someone else to do it, because they're not doing it. And I come from 23 years in the system, right?